Warning! The opinions on this podcast are of the hosts and guests only, and may contain childish humor. Listen at your own discretion. And now, please adjust your headphone volumes to an unreasonable level and prepare to enjoy the most dynamic and electrifying podcast that cyberspace has encountered.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is another episode of Sports Plus
with Rob
and Chris, episode 61. And we're coming at you today. We got some good stuff to discuss. We're going to be talking about the MLS restarting, and then we're going to jump in because we've got a lot of college football updates.
I love it. I love college football.
I know.
I could talk about it all day.
Jinx?
ABC Lock, you owe me a Coke.
What does that even mean?
I don't even know. I don't know.
You always say that. ABC Lock. What does that even mean?
I think it means you can't talk.
Any Quincy's double stamp can't erase.
I've never heard that.
You've never heard of that?
No, what's that one?
It's from Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, that's right.
Any Quincy's. I don't even think I'm saying it right. Any Quincy's double stamp can't erase. Triple stamps, no erase. Okay, let's just get into it.
We're already derailed. We're like a minute in.
Okay, so what are some updates on MLS?
So some news came out this week. So, you know, the MLS have been talking about coming to Disney Wild World of Sports.
Wild?
I have to say it very, very wide world of sports.
Yeah, you said wild sorry. World of sports.
I know. Sorry. It is kind of wild right now with all this going on. They're talking about doing so many things there. Well, the MLS talked about it as a league of coming there. And so the owners gave the players a proposal.
Okay.
And the proposal, basically, just to sum it up, essentially they would go there and live there, but they were going to be there for about 10 weeks.
Right.
So that's, what, 2.5 months?
And they couldn't see their family or go out or do anything. That's what they said before.
Right, right. And so that's one thing to do a month ago, right? When everybody's still locked down and all that.
I feel like the quarantine is like so yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
I feel like nobody... The social distancing, nobody's even cared about that.
I know,
you see
some people with masks, some without, whatever. The players didn't really like that idea very much. And kind of behind the scenes, I think it started coming out that some of the star players, you know, these guys that have played in Europe for a long time, in the Premier League and all this, and they've come over and they're stars here,
yes.
Right, making most of the money. They basically are like, forget this. I signed with LA or with New York or whatever. I'm not going to go sit in quarantine for 2.5 months of my life.
Right.
I'll just not get paid. I don't care.
Right.
You know?
I mean, it's 10 weeks.
Yeah. I mean, it's a long time. I understand from these guys. And they're like, that's not what I signed up for. I'll go play somewhere else, I guess, you know?
Fair.
And, or I just won't play. I've already made money in Europe. You know what I mean? I don't need money. It's not like the majority of players in the MLS who are trying to earn a career and they don't make very much, right? The players came back this week and gave a counteroffer, because that's really what this is. They have to negotiate back and forth, and that's one reason the NBA hasn't started yet. They're still, the players have to agree, and the league has to agree to the terms. With the MLS, the players came back and they said, listen, we have a different idea. Instead of just doing the normal season, and we're there for 10 weeks until things kind of clear up and we feel it's safe to go home, we propose that June 24th, we all come to Orlando. We do 2 weeks of training, kind of prep for it, do whatever we want to do. And then we start a tournament, kind of like the World Cup.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So they would do a 3-game group stage. So they would break the league up into like little groups like the World Cup does, you know?
Okay.
And they would play 3 games. So there'd be 4 teams in each group, and they would play 3 games, obviously. The winners out of that group would move on. And then they would have single game elimination after that. So they play, team A would play team B. If they lose, they're gone. And as soon as a team is eliminated from this tournament, they all go home. They don't stay. So they don't have to stay in quarantine. They go back home and they're with their families and all this. So only the teams that are winning have to stay there.
Huh.
And they play the tournament out until there's a winner of the tournament.
Okay.
So fans get to see the players play. they get to put it on TV. They get their TV money.
But this is still like a closed, like no fans at.
Yeah, no fans.
Only, yeah, it's only going to be televised.
Yeah, it'll be televised. But at least then they're making, so the MLS are big partners with ESPN.
Right.
So that's the reason they want to do it at Disney, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
Because they're partners, right? Yeah, they own each other. So they're fulfilling their TV contract, getting their money. They can pay the players. Everybody kind of wins with this scenario. And so basically that's one big part of what the players have suggested to the owners. And now the owners have to come back, or the league, quote unquote, has to come back and say, yes, we agree to this or not. But there's another small sticking point to this.
Okay.
The owners in their proposal wanted to push off revenue sharing, which was the first time they've offered it to the players.
Huh.
They had their collective bargaining done right before the end of, or right after last season, but it hasn't gone into effect yet. They haven't ratified it, which means they haven't approved it officially. And so part of that was to have some revenue sharing of the TV money.
Yeah.
And they were supposed to take 25% of that money and put it towards player salaries. It was supposed to go 25% towards player salary budget and general allocation money for each team. So the structure of the MLS is set up different than other sports, where you don't really, you kind of own the team, but you don't own the team as a team.
Okay.
You know, so like the owner of Orlando City runs the team and that, but they just get a budget from the league. And
gotcha.
Everybody shares the money between all the teams, which is smart because it allows them to grow and it allows teams to kind of prosper and it incentivizes them to spend money
okay.
on the team, because there's no reason you're not going to save money by not spending.
Right.
It's going to go into somebody else's pocket, right?
Uh-huh.
So why wouldn't you want your team to be the best that it can? So the incentive is to try to make each team as competitive as possible. With this revenue sharing model, it's supposed to kick in, I think, in 2022. The
okay.
owners wanted to push it back to 2023 or 2024.
Interesting.
And the players are like, no way.
Yeah.
We want that money.
Yeah.
You know, we deserve it.
Yeah. Why would it just sit out for?
Yeah. And this is kind of the same argument that Major League Baseball's having with their revenue sharing and all this. And the players and the owners are fighting over reduced salaries and all this. Remember, we talked about this before.
Right.
And so, you know, for me as a fan, I don't care. Listen, just go out and play. You guys figure out your business.
Right.
We just want to see you play.
We just want to see
right?
something.
Yeah, we want to see you play. I don't care what you guys have to do to work it out. But from being a business owner, you know, in the past myself, I think I couldn't go to my employees and say, hey, we're not doing so good this year. Will you guys all take a pay cut?
Right.
They would tell me, we're going to get another job. Now, in pro sports, that's harder because how do you go get another job?
Right.
As a pro baseball player or soccer, you definitely could, right? Because you can go to anywhere in the world.
Sure.
You know, at some point, I'm like, you've made money off of these guys for so many years.
Right.
You got to sometimes take a loss, too, when your business isn't doing well as the owner.
That's part of the gamble of having your own business.
No, 100%.
You're
taking
that risk,
yeah.
and you're going to have to know that at some point, it's not going to be always win, 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 and then, you know, collecting. You're going to be taking a hit
yeah,
at some point.
Yeah, there have been times in my life as a business owner when money wasn't coming in and I had to pay payroll for the rest of the people. And
yeah, you're not getting paid, but everybody else
yeah,
still needs to get
paid. I didn't take
a
paycheck for a while and had to take line of credit and pay that back. And I took a lot of losses, but, you know, that's my risk as the business owner.
Right.
Now, on the flip side, when times are good, right?
Sure,
for
yeah.
the owners, they get to prosper then. So, you know, maybe in the future, the owners use this as a bargaining chip. Listen, okay, we're going to suck it up and take a loss and do this sort of stuff now. But, you know, in the future, you can't be so greedy because
right.
look, we're doing the right thing now. Now that could backfire on them if now they're asking them to take a pay cut.
Right.
Right. Then in the future, the players go, look, we take pay cuts and now you're doing really well. You need to give us more of the pie.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, end of story, the MLS, the owners are going to vote on it this coming week. And so hopefully they'll be here the 24th and start training.
I hope so.
To start early in July. Then we'll have a 6-week tournament and see some MLS.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, it'd be good. I think they need to do it because they can't, after the U.S. national team didn't make the World Cup.
Yeah.
They can't take another hit.
No.
Because their ratings will start dropping.
Well, I feel like they're already kind of
yeah, but
dropping, but
they've
at
been
this
growing.
Point, but at this
as a
point,
league?
I feel like people will watch whatever.
Yeah, so it's like a race to get back.
This is a great opportunity to kind of, you know, get better as a whole and have and engage more fans or just get people more on board with it, this is a great opportunity.
Oh, definitely. Definitely, definitely. You know, I think it's time they got to move forward and just do what they can.
Get up and go! I was dancing the whole time.
I know, it was great.
Yes,
you're doing the cheer and everything.
Love it.
That means college football time.
Yes!
Let's talk some college football.
Let's do it.
So I thought we would talk about some QBs, because everybody loves quarterbacks, right?
Okay.
College football, NFL, that's always the hot news, right? The quarterbacks.
Yeah. Who's now, coming in? Who's stealing somebody else's thunder?
Yeah, and with transfer portals and five-star recruits and all this kind of stuff, signing and then decommitting and all this, it's becoming a soap opera in college football, right?
It's become a new age Jerry Springer.
Almost, yeah.
I mean,
I love it though. It's a soap opera, right?
Like Jerry.
Yeah. Who's gonna sign? Who's gonna stay? Who's gonna start? All this.
And who's crying?
And who's crying on the bench? There's no crying in baseball. So anyway, so I thought, okay, let's start out with the University of Georgia.
Okay.
Because it seems like they have every five-star quarterback in the world joining this team or transferring or committing to it or whatever.
Okay.
So they have a full quarterback room, and one other player is just now being added to that. Well, a couple of players are added this season to the University of Georgia.
Okay.
So number one, the big news was Jamie Newman. He's transferring from Wake Forest. And we already knew this back in the spring last year.
Yeah.
He decided that he was going to transfer. He's a grad transfer. So he'll be able to play right away.
Okay.
And he was really good with Wake Forest. A lot of people are saying he's a Heisman hopeful.
Okay.
So that's the reason a lot of people are saying Georgia's just going to reload this year and be good. He's kind of a dynamic quarterback, can run, can throw, kind of like Lamar Jackson-ish type of, you know, these kind of dual threat, but can really throw the ball.
Okay.
And so he did well with Wake Forest, and I watched him last year, but his problem is he still makes bad decisions, and he was a junior.
Yeah, that's like what we were talking about with Franks and Beans from Florida.
Yeah.
He's got a great arm, very talented, but he's still making mistakes, and he still has a problem committing and making a decision.
Oh, definitely.
And that, I feel like you cannot teach that.
Well, I think you can to a point. But if you don't get it, if you don't get it by your sophomore year,
no, you're not getting it. At some point, you can be open to like getting critique and like training and try to help decrease that level of awkwardness where you don't know what to do. But yeah, exactly. If you're a junior pushing senior and you still have that,
yeah, I mean, you're never going to learn.
You're never going to learn,
especially if you've played.
Exactly.
Right, and this guy has played. It isn't like he's set around. So I don't know about him. It's kind of like the guy from Utah State, Jordan Love, that the Green Bay Packers took. They're very similar. I actually watched the game between them last year, and it was like they were both making like crazy mistakes. But like sometimes it's because they think they can make a pass and they try to get it in that window and they really can't. So they're taking a chance, kind of that gunslinger mentality.
Right.
But we'll see. They're saying that he's probably going to be the starter for Georgia.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Transferring in because he only has 1 year.
Right, right.
And he was started for Wake Forest, I think, all 3 years prior, I think. So he transferred in. JT Daniels, who was a five-star out of high school and has played for USC, is transferring in.
Okay.
And he'll have 2 years of eligibility.
Wow.
And they're thinking he may sit out this year even.
Okay.
Okay. So he transferred in. They have an early four-star enrollee, Carson Beck, as a freshman. Okay.
Okay.
Then they have a five-star commit for next year. He won't be eligible this year. He'll be for the next year. Brock Vandegrift. And a lot of people were thinking, oh, maybe he'll decommit. But he came out and said, listen, I embrace competition. I'm going to be there.
Okay.
You know, so he had some moxie, but he's kind of their future, but a couple of years away.
Right.
Now, the other guy they have, so that's what, four guys already.
Yeah.
But the fourth guy for this year is DeJuan Mathis. He was the number 11 quarterback in 2019 out of high school.
Okay.
And he's kind of a dual threat guy. He was going to go to Ohio State, but flipped because Justin Fields went there from Georgia.
Okay.
See how this is soap opera?
Yeah,
see where
I'm
going
with
it?
Crazy, yeah.
So he enrolled in Georgia, but then he found out that he had a brain cyst.
Oh.
And he had to go undergo emergency surgery to remove that. So he just got cleared this week to come back and play football.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They didn't give the details on actually what the brain cyst and all this was.
Does he have any type of like residuals from this? Or
I don't think so.
Wow.
I don't know what he had, if he had like a meningioma or something like this, but they didn't say in the article, but they said he had a brain cyst. I mean, they keep it pretty general, but so he's cleared to come back and play. And he said, I'm going to try to compete to be the starter too.
We'll see.
So Georgia is kind of interesting.
I just feel like there's a lot of bark over there. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I feel like this is every year. They always hype. And then when push comes to shove, where is this five-star recruit that y'all were bragging about?
Yeah, I know. So, okay. So you're about to get on one of my pet peeves right now, by the way. I'm going to break from what we were talking about. I'm going off schedule here. Okay. This is what I was trying to look up before we were talking. How they calculate strength of schedule and all this. I looked it up before. There's all these different criteria they use. They use like the Sagarin rankings. They use S&P. They use all the BCS rankings and all this. But I remember I looked about a year ago, and I couldn't find it today before the show. But part of strength of schedule that they use and ranking of teams before the season, they have points they apply to it, okay?
Okay.
And one criteria is to have the same coach.
Okay.
Okay, we've talked about that before, how like Power Five schools kind of get penalized a lot because these coaches aren't necessarily fired because they're bad. Like in UCF situation, Scott Frost left and went to Nebraska because, quote unquote, it's a better job. It's a Power Five job. He gets paid more, all this kind of stuff. So UCF was actually dinged that year or penalized
because he left.
And so their ranking actually got hurt. That was one criteria. If your coach returns, you get extra points.
So if they leave or get fired, it's a
ding
no matter what.
If you change the coach, no matter what.
No matter what the circumstances.
You get rewarded for having the same coach back again.
Well, that's...
Okay?
That stinks.
So, well, and it kind of makes sense. If you're changing coaches, well, then there may be instability. So I can buy that.
Okay,
I can buy it.
Sure.
But still, it's not...
It's a little...
You have an undefeated team with UCF and they're getting penalized because they have a new coach. And they're returning most of the team.
Okay.
No, I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So then another thing that you get penalized for is if you change quarterbacks.
Okay.
Meaning you get rewarded if you have your returning starting quarterback.
So we already know Georgia's going to be dinged.
Well, usually, but they're going to be ranked in the top five anyway. Because one of the biggest components of this is your recruiting class.
Okay.
This is how the SEC ends up in the top 15 with like 10 of their teams in their league. In the top 15. I'm exaggerating a little bit.
Okay.
But because their recruiting classes are so good, right?
Right, yeah.
But how many people transfer from Alabama, from Georgia, especially Georgia?
Yeah.
Every year they sign them, right?
Yeah.
Even last year with Florida, 6 or 7 of their players that were on their recruiting class didn't make it on the team.
Well,
because they didn't qualify academically
or different
things.
There was other circumstances
for that. And there were some players that transferred in different things. But my point is nobody goes back and updates those.
Okay, so it's only there. And then once it's done.
Once it's done, it's done.
Yeah, so they can't go back.
When the rankings come, they could. So some people have suggested that you do a blend of the recruiting class over a 3-year period.
Okay.
Right? So that when those guys turn to be juniors, if they're still on the team, then you get to keep their ranking, right?
What if you did it like the recruiting class and then halfway through the season?
No. The suggestion is you do the recruiting class and then you look at it again 3 years later.
Okay.
And then you always blend the rates each year over 3 years.
Okay.
And so, because if you recruit, say, 20 players, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're all 5 stars. And in 2 years, 3 of those players on your team and 17 are gone.
Right.
Because they've transferred to other schools. That's not the same team anymore. You're just recruiting stars, meaning the recruiting label, right?
Okay.
You just want 5 stars and 4 stars, no matter how many you get. You don't care if they transfer. It's a game. And so what happens is these big conferences rank higher. And so then they get all their teams in the top 25. They all play each other. And then everybody goes, well, you know, Florida played Alabama, played Tennessee that was ranked, played Ole Miss that was ranked, but Ole Miss ends up being 3-9.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they're really not a good team.
Yeah.
But they're boosted up in the top 25 because of their rankings based on recruiting.
Okay. So what's your team's excuse?
No. So what they do, watch what they do. If you follow recruiting, what they do is say a player goes somewhere like USF, for instance. They recruit a USF or even UCF sometimes, right?
Okay.
They'll say they're a 3-star. Then that player decides at the last minute because people figure out they're really good.
Okay. Because
schools like UCF, UCF are good at finding these kids that aren't really that well known.
Yeah.
And so they're not ranked very high. But then they actually start to look at them. Other schools start looking like, hey, wait, why are all these schools looking at this kid?
Right.
Then they go to say, I'll pick a random school, you know, South Carolina. Okay. They flip to South Carolina. All of a sudden, their ranking magically goes from a 3-star to a 4-star.
Hmm.
When they sign with South Carolina.
Right.
But I can guarantee if they stay with UCF, they'd be a 3-star.
Interesting.
This is a pet peeve of mine.
It's a conspiracy.
Yes.
Allegedly.
So anyway, so let's look around the SEC a little bit at quarterbacks.
Okay, yeah.
If you want to.
Yeah.
Georgia, we've already talked about. It's probably going to be Jamie Newman. Mississippi State, with Mike Leach, he's instituting the air raid. He's from Washington State.
Okay.
The coach.
Yeah.
He got JT Costello to transfer from Stanford.
Oh, wow.
Which played against UCF last year. Remember, he was the quarterback for UCF last year when they got demolished.
Yes.
And they couldn't even move the ball.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah. So he's there. So UF.
Kyle Trask.
I think it's going to be Kyle Trask.
It better be.
A lot of people are still talking Emory Jones.
No.
And I don't think so.
Listen, I'm sorry. He's not going to be it. They should have changed him to a running back.
He cannot.
I don't even know. I don't even know what to say with him.
I just don't think so. I don't.
He's only played
so.
A few games. Not even games. He's only played a few like downs.
Yeah.
And they always end up pulling him out. Like he's not getting it.
They always pull him out and Trask has to come in on 3rd and 15 because they've lost yardage.
Okay. Not only is like he's very short, he's very fast, but also I just don't think he's ready. Maybe he won't
he's
ever
a junior.
Be ready.
I don't think he's
ever going to be ready. I haven't seen anything to be like, wow, he's got it. He's got the it factor. Kyle Trask, he's going to be a senior now?
Yeah.
And, I mean, he led us halfway through the season because Franks got hurt.
Yeah.
Came in halfway through the season, and basically we won almost every game besides, did we play LSU? I can't remember.
Yeah, you lost LSU.
I think we lost to LSU, but, I mean.
And I think Auburn, but. You know, he's very consistent. He has a 70%, almost a 70% completion rate, Trask. And he just runs the offense well. He gets positive yardage.
And everybody loves him.
Yeah, I mean,
He has a good vibe on the team. Everybody likes him.
The problem is you get enamored with this athleticism of people sometimes and the big playmaking of some of these guys that play quarterback. But I would rather have a guy that's consistent every down and doesn't turn the ball over and doesn't lose the game sometimes than a guy who may have one or two big plays. But
what has Jones ever shown?
No. He may have some big plays here and there, but overall, 75% of his plays are not successful.
No, but I'm saying, what has he even shown? I haven't seen these big plays. I don't know what people are talking about.
Apparently, I have different glasses than everyone else.
I have not seen him do anything to light up the field. I'm just saying.
I know. Okay, so moving on. So we're both agreed, Kyle Trask.
Kyle, all the way.
Arkansas. They took your old garbage with Felipe Franks.
Have fun with him, boys.
I know. It's going to be bad.
Book 'em, boys.
Yep. Alabama, it looks like it's going to be Mac Jones taking over for Tua.
Okay.
Auburn, Bo Nix, we both know him.
Yeah.
He's now sophomore, so they'll just keep going.
Sure.
LSU is interesting. It's Miles Brennan, and he hasn't played a lot. But
no, because...
We'll see. Because, yeah.
Joe Burrow.
Because Joe Burrow was there. Yeah.
I mean, why would he play? Joe Burrow was lighting it up last year.
No, I know. So we'll see how he does. There were some rumors that Ed Ogeron might be looking for a transfer, but this is late now. He's not going to get one now.
You're going to go back. We need another quarterback.
Exactly. But it's not like they're going to have problems getting one now after this last season. They should run on this pretty hot. Then Missouri has a transfer quarterback too. Sean Robinson, he transferred from TCU. And their new offensive coordinator was from TCU.
Okay.
So he should be the starter there and just keep rolling. Ole Miss with old Lane Kiffin. We'll see how he does with Plumlee. That's their quarterback. He's supposed to be a good runner and athletic and this, so we'll see how he can turn things around. But that's kind of the overview of the SEC this year, and we'll see how they do.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see.
Are you going to get into your team?
Oh, it's Dylan Gabriel, unless Milton comes back. But
okay, so what is the update on Milton, though?
The last interview with him, he said he's still 50-50. You know, that he'll come back. But basically, he's throwing, he's running. And so basically, he said he's going to go to fall practice when they open. So they're starting this week, the athletes, to come back. They're coming back to campus.
That's so exciting.
Yes, really exciting. So the football players, they announced at UCF they're coming back this week. They're going to be tested for COVID, go through some protocol or this, and then they're going to start their camps and start throwing and playing and all this.
I cannot wait until football starts. Yeah.
So he can still sit out another year with a red shirt, like a medical red shirt. But he said he's not going to come back unless he feels like he can really play like 90 to 100%.
Right.
So we'll see. He's going to give it a try and just see how it goes. But I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how
I hope
feel.
He does for him, but
I'm kind of scared for him.
I don't know. But he's already come so far from what people thought he would be able to do.
I know. So why chance it?
What do you mean why chance it?
Like he could get re-injured again. That was a serious injury that he had.
Yeah.
I would, if he were my kid, I'd tell him nope. Well,
yeah, I know. The mom last year told him he should be a coach.
Yeah. I just told him no.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit, since we're talking about my team, let's talk a little bit about national championship hopes.
Okay. So humor me.
Okay. And that was a joke, by the way. I'm just kidding.
I know. Humor me.
So I looked up the national championship percentages by conference.
Okay.
So this is basically what Vegas says each conference chances are of having the national champion. So who do you think is number one?
Florida.
Is Florida a conference, babe? Those of you out there, wait until we get the UF preview of the season. I say the name of the team and she goes, who's going to win? Florida.
Of course. They're not even playing.
Florida versus Jesus.
The conference.
Florida.
Okay. Okay. SEC.
Yeah. SEC came in number one at 38% chance.
AKA Florida.
Of producing a national champion. And Florida is in the mix of that.
Yeah.
So I'll get into the breakdown of the teams after this. The number two conference, would you like to guess? From a galaxy far, far away?
I don't know. The ACC, probably.
Yeah.
With Clemson.
Yeah. The ACC has a 33% chance of producing the champion, which is the ACC. The Big Ten comes in third at 25%.
Sure.
That's like Ohio State, all them, you know. The fourth is the Big 12. And the Pac-12 are both tied at 8%.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So basically they're saying they don't have a lot of a chance, but they still have a chance.
Yeah, sure.
Then it's followed by the American.
Womp, womp. Where's your music for that?
Is that what you wanted?
Yes, thank you.
So they have a 0.5% chance. So you're telling me we've got a chance.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Exactly. Then the Mountain West is 0.5%. And they're talking about Boise.
Sure.
You know, pretty much Boise. Then Conference USA, MAC, and Sunbelt all have a 0.1% chance. Now, who is the number one team that's the favorite to win per Vegas? I told you all the conferences, but who's the number one team?
I'm probably going to say Clemson.
Clemson is number one, and that's the reason there's a 33% chance that it's the ACC, because everybody thinks it's just that team. It drops off significantly after Clemson.
They're the only good team.
Yeah. So here are the rankings by teams. Okay.
Okay.
And we kind of did this before, I think, but Clemson was number one, Ohio State two, Alabama three, LSU four, Georgia five. And remember, UCF came in, tied 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Yes, I remember.
And then Florida, Auburn, and Texas A&M all tie for 11th. So out of the, you know, top whatever, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Out of the top 11, you have 6 SEC teams.
Yeah.
So that's the reason they have a 38% chance. They don't know who it's going to be,
it's
but
just
it's
going to
be
those.
Someone.
Yeah, it's one of those, for sure.
So
Agree.
So you think it's going to be the SEC? It's probably going to be SEC versus ACC. Clemson again.
Yeah, Clemson, for sure.
Because they're all loaded. Clemson's loaded again this year.
I don't know how LSU's going to be now that Joe Burrow's not there. I don't know what to expect from this new quarterback. I don't know if the team is going to be as good as it was last year. I don't even know how Alabama's going to be with... I feel like a whole bunch of people left.
I think there's a lot up in the air in the SEC, honestly.
I mean, the only one coming back is Kyle from Florida. People say that he's not returning, but...
Yeah, I mean, the Gators have a lot of returning players.
I feel like that's the only team that I can think of that has...
I was really surprised that LSU was that high, even above Georgia, to be honest with you,
because... didn't they lose a lot of other players? Not just Joe Burrow. They lost a lot of their offensive line or...
Well, I think they have 14 players drafted in the first three rounds.
Yeah.
I mean, but the LSU always has talent. They just never had a quarterback.
Yeah.
That's the reason they were so inconsistent. So I think it's really what you said. It's very important to see how the quarterback does.
Yeah. Yes, it's trivia time. Yes. I love that music. It makes me feel like a little fairy. Okay. Are you ready for the trivia question?
Yeah, let's do it.
In what year were the first Air Jordan sneakers released? And you have to know this.
84.
You didn't even let me finish my sentence.
That is right. I don't need to.
I hate you.
I know.
I'm just kidding. I love you. Okay, and let's wrap it up with...
Well, that was the year he was drafted, and The Last Dance was just on, so it reminded me. But so you know he didn't want to sign with Nike, right?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he didn't want to sign with Nike. Nike didn't really have basketball shoes. He was their first major signing.
I do know that. I do know that.
You know who he wanted to sign with?
I think when you tell me, I'll know.
Adidas, baby.
I was
Run DMC.
That. Adidas.
Adidas. Yeah, he wanted to sign with Adidas,
yeah,
and
didn't
basically
he make Nike. He made Nike.
He made Nike. Yeah, he made Nike.
Because before Nike,
they were
was
running,
like running shoes.
Shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
They were running shoes, and his agent basically tried to get him a deal with Adidas, and they were like, "I'm sorry, we have too many basketball stars already. We don't need another one." And he was just a rookie, you know?
Yeah.
He wanted a big deal. And Nike came out and gave him this huge, huge deal. And he didn't want to do it. And his parents had to come to him. His mom came to him and said, "Michael, you are taking this meeting.
Yeah.
You need to go listen to these people and see what they have to say." And when he got in there, they rolled out the red carpet for him. They said, "We're going to build this whole brand around you. We have a lot of confidence in you." And they overpaid him at the time. They paid him more than, like... I think he got paid more than Magic Johnson.
Oh, wow.
At the time. And Magic Johnson was already a three-time champion or something at that point.
Well, because they knew that a lot of people were...
Well, they wanted to get in the market.
Oh, okay.
You know, so
you
had to pay...
Oh, but you said he was a rookie, so like...
He was a rookie, yeah. So they, you know, they wanted to get in the shoe market with basketball. So they had, you know, when you want to get into a market, you got to kind of overpay sometimes. And they got really lucky. They hit, you know, they hit lightning, right?
That's crazy. Well, there you go.
There you go. And they're still selling his sneakers. I think they said something like they wanted to make like $3 million in sales over a couple of years or something like that. And they made like something crazy, like $100 million in the first year.
What was that show we were watching with Jeff Goldblum?
Oh, The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah. And I should have known that.
Yeah.
Anyway, and there was a sneaker episode.
Oh, yeah. The sneakerheads.
And these people were buying sneakers. And like, obviously, they're not wearing them. They're just like collector's items.
Yeah.
And it was insane the amount of sneakers.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's how
and the amount that people pay.
Yeah. I just remember like growing up, everyone's like, "Oh, yeah, I got the Jordan sneaks. Do you have..." It was like a it was like a title status.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, "Oh, no, I'm not wearing my Jordans out. Are you crazy?"
You know who has a sneaker store like that where they sell like these real high-end sneakers and all this at Disney Springs?
No.
Michael Jordan's son.
Oh?
Yeah.
Oh?
Who went to UCF and played b-ball.
Oh.
I think it's Jeffrey Jordan. But so he has a store out there now, and that's what he does. He sells like...
Like custom sneakers?
Like these high-end sneakers, like these collectibles.
Yeah, like obviously you're not going to wear them. They're all like blinged out and stuff.
Well, some of them I think you can buy there to wear, but like...
No, but the ones that you
but
go...
But a lot of collectors go there.
Yeah, the ones you... Yeah, exactly. The ones you want to collect, you're not going to wear.
Yeah.
Okay, let's wrap it up with a would you rather. Would you rather never be able to cut your hair or never be able to cut your nails? And if your nails broke naturally, that'd be okay.
Oh, that's an easy one. I went and cut my hair. I did that all through high school and college.
Really? You were dying over this quarantine, though.
I know, because I have short hair now. It's
harder.
You were
dying. You were complaining and whining like a little girl.
Yeah, but if I couldn't cut my nails.
Yeah, but they wouldn't break?
Yeah, but I can't do long
you
nails.
Scratch
I think it's
my
gross.
Back better.
I won't cut I won't cut my toenails for that.
No, I would say I would definitely
What would you do?
I'd cut my hair because my nails are really brittle. They break anyway. So whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
And I'm a female, so it doesn't matter if I have long nails.
Yeah, I couldn't do long nails. I don't like it. Don't like it.
Okay. Okay, guys, well, that wraps up today's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening to Sports Bliss with Rob and Chris. Available on anchor.fm, Apple Podcast, Spotify, and everywhere else fine podcasts are found. Follow us on Instagram and leave voice comments at 407-494-6420. This has been a Sports Bliss with Rob and Chris production.